are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation and Houdat family? Welcome to another episode of Locked On Saints here at the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Ross Jackson here at Ross Jackson, N-O-L-A on Twitter, editor over at CanalStreetChronicles.com, your host covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Saints, every single Monday through Friday. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining me on this Fat Tuesday. Happy Mardi Gras to you. Thank you so much for making me a part of the celebration. We're going to continue our conversation around the combine and draft today, but first, we'll talk about Michael Hodges, the new linebackers coach for the New Orleans Saints. This news broke yesterday that he's been elevated to Mike Nolan's old position. Is he a good fit? Do the players like him? We'll discuss. Then we'll look ahead to the NFL scouting combine as workouts begin on Thursday. It's going to be part of our Twitter Tuesday today. So first, we're going to talk about those on-field workouts and what they tell us. Then we're going to dive into your fan-voted top needs for the New Orleans Saints as we begin to identify what players to watch in Indianapolis throughout the week. We got all that and a little bit of land yet for you in today's episode of Locked On Saints, your team every day. The Saints have finally filled their void at linebackers coach after Mike Nolan left for the Dallas Cowboys. That's our lead story today here on Locked On Saints, your team every day. It took about 2 months for the Saints to finally announce their new linebackers coach, but they finally done it, and it is former assistant linebackers coach Michael Hodges, who has been promoted to take over the linebackers coach position that Mike Nolan vacated to take over the defensive coordinator position in Dallas. Hodges was a name that was connected to this position about a month ago by The Athletic's Kat Terrell, who said it wouldn't surprise her to see Hodges be the guy that gets called up to take over this responsibility. And then she followed that up yesterday after the report became official, thanks to Dan Hatman, as well as Nick Underhill and Mike Triplett, who all confirmed the report, basically saying that the handshake was already done and the agreement was already there. It was just about working out the actual solid contract details at that point. So what do you need to know about Michael Hodges? Well, he actually started with the Saints as a defensive assistant back in 2017. He was promoted to that assistant linebackers coach position just last year in 2019, and apparently was a big deal and an integral part in DeMario Davis's fantastic 2019 as well. So that's definitely something of note, because you end up with cohesion in terms of what created the improved linebacker position play for the Saints in a guy like Michael Hodges, who's just elevating and taking his next step of his career. And he's still a young guy too, so there might be some growing pains there, but it's not as if he's running the entire defense. He's working as the position coach with the linebacker, something that he's obviously comfortable with and I would say effective with, considering if he was really a part of what helped DeMario Davis over these last few years with New Orleans, then clearly he's doing something right. Now, a little bit about his history outside of the NFL. He was also a player. He played linebacker. He played the linebacker position at Texas A&M, which just of note is Dennis Allen, the defensive coordinator for the Saints' alma mater. And then he also coached as a graduate assistant for Fresno State, and then ended up spending some time as the co-defensive coordinator at Eastern Illinois, which is head coach Sean Payton's alma mater as well. So he has some really, really good connections and ties with Dennis Allen and Sean Payton. So no surprise to see him end up being elevated as the new linebackers coach in New Orleans. Now, the big thing is he a fit? Do the players like him? Well, we talked about how he's a fit in terms of what his work with DeMario Davis translated into in 2019. But is he somebody that the players like? I'd certainly say so, as it was Alex Anzalone who took to Twitter to use the Leonardo DiCaprio clapping gif to celebrate the coach's promotion. So I think that this is a good fit for the Saints. And the thing that's really, really important here is the cohesion, as I discussed earlier. You're not bringing in somebody that has to learn a new language or install a new language as that position coach. He served as the assistant there, so he already knows exactly what types of communication styles work with the guys that will be retained from 2019 to 2020, and he knows how to work with these guys. He has a rapport. So this is a really smart decision, and of course, it looks like the Saints took as much time as they really needed did. Maybe they did have that handshake agreement in place a month ago, which would have been a little bit around a month in terms of their actual search from the sixth when Mike Nolan left to the end of the, you know, late January when they apparently had this handshake agreement in place for Michael Hodges. But even still, that was a month that they took to really sort of figure out what was the best move for them. And then it took another month for them to announce it. So there was more than enough time for another exciting candidate to pop up or anything like that. So they took the time that they needed. And they clearly made the decision that they really wanted to make here in elevating Michael Hodges. So the Saints now have their newest linebacker coach. The only other coach that have been hired away so far was actually an offensive assistant. So far, the Saints have maintained their coaching staff and kept cohesion in replacing that linebacker coach position with somebody that was already in the building. Now, what do they do about the assistant linebacker coach position that's now open will remain to be seen, but that is a far less concerning matter than the lead positional coach there. So Michael Hodges is your new linebackers coach here in New Orleans. All right, y'all, coming up next, we're going to take a look at each of the on-field workouts during the NFL Combine and what you're going to learn from each one of those, just to give you a little bit of a more critical eye as you sit back and watch those workouts, which begin on Thursday. And then we'll talk about your fan-voted positions of need for the Saints, the most important that you shared with me on Twitter, or at least the most recognized. And then we'll use that throughout the week so that ahead of each group's workout and each position group, we can start to identify which players to watch so it'd be good fits for New Orleans. We got that coming up for you next. You're on Locked On Saints, your team every day. If you've been a listener of this podcast, and I'm sure that you've heard all of the great advertisers working with Locked On to reach sports fans, but you may not know that Locked On Saints is a great way for your local business to reach passionate Saints fans just like you. Unlike any other podcast, Locked On gives your company the unique ability to reach local podcast listeners, and not just any podcast listener, a Locked On podcast listener. If your company wants to connect with Saints fans and a predominantly male audience that's well-educated with disposable income, then let's put your company right here on this Locked On podcast. Local fans love to support local businesses. Just text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcasts.com/advertising and let us know who you are so that we can get our team to help your team achieve Locked On advertising success. Once again, just text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcasts.com/advertising. We look forward to hearing from you. All right, Who Dat Nation. So the NFL Combine has officially kicked off, but you might be wondering why you're not hearing about 40-yard dash and vertical jumps and all that other stuff. And it's because the on-field workouts don't begin until Thursday. Right now, it's all about measurements, as well as, of course, the very important interview and testing process. So the interviews are probably what you're seeing a lot of right now. You saw Justin Jefferson talking about how incredible it would be for him to have an opportunity to play with the Saints and how much that would mean to him, which he said it would mean the world to him if he got an opportunity to play for the team that he grew up rooting for. One of the other things that he mentioned was that he hasn't met with the Saints yet. Don't feel bad about that. Don't freak out about that. That's actually fine. You're talking about a wide receiver who was not at the Senior Bowl because he graduated with 1 year of eligibility. Therefore, the Saints didn't have an opportunity to meet with him in Mobile. And then you get him to the scouting combine just yesterday. He just arrived. So don't worry about the fact that he mentioned that he hasn't met with the Saints yet. There's still an opportunity. I know a lot of people are excited about the idea of Justin Jefferson. Don't want anybody feeling like, oh, maybe the Saints aren't interested. The Saints are interested in every wide receiver in this draft, or at least they should be. So one of the things that will happen once we get to Thursday, it's going to be wide receivers and some other groups that are going to start off with the on-field workouts. So what I wanted to do was take a moment to break down each of the on-field workouts, tell you a little bit about what it is that you're going to learn from them, or what you can learn from them, right? So this is one of those moments where you're in scouting and you're in scouting mode. So you're looking at what can a player do as opposed to what that can't they do. And the on-field workouts are definitely going to give you a wealth of information around those questions. So the first set of on-field workouts will begin Thursday. That will be from 3 p.m. to 10 p.m. Central. That's wide receivers, tight ends, and quarterbacks during that group. You must know that we will be talking a lot about wide receivers, of course, in the coming days. So let's start off here with the 40-yard dash. We know it tells you how fast a person is or how fast a player is, but what else can it tell you? Well, it tells you a little bit about their mobility, their explosion, and also how they manage their weight. What's their center of gravity? Do they have the discipline that they need when they're running, or are their knees super high? You know, you start to see a little bit of those types of things. Are they leaning forward too much? Are they leaning back too much? Are they off kilter? Gives you a really good understanding of what that prospect's understanding is of their body and how to use what they've got. So yes, it's going to tell you how fast they are, but it also gives you a little bit of other information as well. Explosion is definitely one of them, particularly it's one of the reasons why you see 10-yard splits in the 40-yard dash, because it's very rare that you're going to get a prospect, especially playing a position that's not wide receiver. It's very rare that you're going to get a prospect that ever, you know, that you're ever going to translate that information of running 40 yards untouched in a straight line onto a football field. It's very rarely going to be the case, but that 10-yard split gives you a pretty good piece of information in terms of what their explosiveness is or their explosion might be. Maybe, let's say, a defensive end coming off of the defensive line at a snap. What does that explosion look like? Another thing that's going to help you see that is going to be on the broad jump. That's, of course, them standing completely still and then jumping forward as far as they can. So you're going to see a lot about explosion there, their lower body strength, of course, and then their balance and body control there as well, because it takes a lot to stand in one place and then jump 12 feet forward, like Byron Jones jumped 12'4", if I remember correctly, a couple of combines ago. That was the longest broad jump recorded. So that's going to tell you a lot about that same thing too. So if you're interested in looking at, you know, who's got that burst off of the defensive line, or what wide receiver can really get off the line of scrimmage, broad jump, 40-yard dash, both of those are going to give you some pretty good information there. All right, next you've got a pair of agility drills, and I'm going to lump two of them together, and we'll start there. So there's a 20-yard shuttle, and then there's also the 60-yard shuttle. 20-yard shuttle, more commonly referred to as the short shuttle, or the 5-10-5. You basically start in the middle of a 10-yard stretch, run 5 yards to your right, turn around, run 10 yards to your left, turn around and run 5 yards back to center, basically crossing center, and that's the end of the drill. It's all about, at that point, short area quickness, change of direction, distribution of weight and power. Can you absorb power on the inside foot as you stop to reach and touch the line without putting that other hand down, flexibility, all of that, and then use that inside foot to burst going back the opposite direction? That's basically going to tell you a lot there. The shuttle is generally the one that ends up getting made fun of, or not really made fun of, but that generally, like, the agility drills don't matter for some style players. We saw the agility drill really be a big talking point when it came to DK Metcalf. And DK Metcalf was never going to be the guy that was going to go out there and just blow you out of the water with his three cone. Like, he's going to be the guy that's going to go out there and out-muscle you to catch the football. That's his game. And so this doesn't matter for a lot of players. But when you're a Saints fan, you're going to want to look at this, particularly when it comes to route running, the ability to make cuts for a wide receiver coming in and out of breaks. Just that change of direction sort of translates there, as well as that short area explosion. If you're looking for a guy that can be effective in the short and intermediate areas, which I believe the Saints will be, it's also helpful, that shuttle run in particular. You can even go to the 60-yard if you want to talk about endurance in that case, but that gives you a lot of information for those mobile offensive linemen. How do they move? Where can they go? Things like that. So there are some good takeaways here for the shuttle run, depending upon who runs it and whether or not it's beneficial. You know, the other thing is that you're going to see a lot of those same things in just the usual positional drills, excuse me, Trey. You have them basically going through and running routes and stuff like that. So you're still going to get that information either way, but that's what you're usually going to get from either or shuttle run. The three cone drill is another one. That's just another short area quickness type of drill. It's all about the agility. How quickly can you turn edges? How quickly can you change direction? Things like that. So it's going to tell you a little bit about change of direction, bend and flexibility. You got to bend down to touch the line, but you got to be flexible enough not to put that other hand down on the ground to help stabilize yourself. Can you put that power on your inside leg instead of your outside leg, which essentially your plant foot? So lots of things like that in terms of your distribution, but also acceleration and deceleration. Can you accelerate around a corner? Can you decelerate and then still accelerate when you come out of that? So that's a really, really good one to see too, because that's going to translate into route running. It's going to translate into pass rush moves, a lot of other things there as well. And so that's one that I actually do like. I like the three cone, but you just, again, you have to be aware of the player that's running it and whether or not it's even important to their game. I'll continue to use DK Metcalf as the example there. Not at all important to his game, because he's just going to push you over and catch the football. Not really push you over, but you know what I mean. Now we'll get to another very popular one here, the vertical jump. So this is another one, or the vertical leap rather. This is another one that's all about explosiveness. Can you explode from a, without a run, right? From a plant and then jump as high as you can. Test your leaping ability, your lower body strength. We know that one. We love that one. Love a good vertical leap drill. So that one basically tells you everything you need to know. Bench press is another one that happens separately from the on-field workouts, happens in the weight room. I really wanted to talk about this one because, of course, it's going to tell you everything you need to know about upper body strength. Can you bench press? How does your arm length affect your strength and your ability to utilize that strength? That's really, really important for, say, offensive linemen and defensive linemen. And sometimes the smaller guys that are doing them, like defensive backs, are you able to do that? You know, Justin Jefferson, for instance, isn't even doing the bench press. He's going to do every other drill, but he's not going to do the bench press. So, you know, not a lot of people really, this doesn't translate to a lot of different positions where it's super important, but it does tell you a little bit. It also teaches you a little bit about endurance. But one of my favorite things that you're going to hear a lot, particularly amongst defensive backs that decide to do the bench press, is that you're not going to hear about some defensive back, you know, bench pressing 225 pounds, you know, 30 some odd times. You're just not going to get that. But what you're going to hear a lot about are the culture guys, the guys that are in there that aren't even doing the actual drill itself or the workout itself, and that are cheering other guys on, that are pushing other guys. That's Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. That's CJ Gardner-Johnson. Like, that is that type of personality. And you learn that in the weight room, unlike you learn it anywhere else during the combine, because all of the formalities of, like, I am being audited and I'm being tested and I have to, you know, be at my best, all that kind of goes out the window because it just becomes you. And, you know, the players trying to help each other succeed and raise their stock however they can. And the weight room is just a place where all of that comes out, because that's what the weight room is at home, right? You're just cheering other guys on. You're trying to get them to do it. I love the weight room and I love the bench press because you get to see those culture guys, particularly among the defensive backs. It's a lot of fun to watch. They're also adding a few other things. They're timing the gauntlet, which I don't entirely understand. They're timing the W drill, which I really don't understand. And so you're going to see some things like that, but they're also adding this figure eight drill, great workout that I think is really, really neat. So basically you're running a figure eight as a defensive back. So that's going to help to show your bend, your ability to get around the edge, how tight can you stick to your angles, things like that. But then you also have to lean down and pick something up as you're running as well. They're going to put an item on the ground that the prospect then has to pick up on their way through. I think it's around the third bend that you take, it'll be up top right or something like that. And then they'll pick it up. And that just shows, again, bend, flexibility, mobility, things like that. So there's a quick rundown of at least the main on-field workouts you're going to see. Again, there's specific positional drills like bag drills and stuff like that as well, but those are pretty self-explanatory. But I just wanted to give you a little bit of a primer on what you're going to see as we go through this week. And as I start talking about, you know, either reviewing some players and their the way that they perform at the combine, but also previewing and saying, hey, make sure that you keep an eye out on, let's say, Jalen Reagor's broad jump, because it's sure to be incredible. So I just wanted to give a little bit more context. So now coming up, we're going to jump into what you recommended as the top five Saints needs. You really recommended four, I threw in a fifth. We'll talk a little bit about that so that that sort of sets the scene for what we're going to be doing out throughout the rest of the week, looking ahead at who to watch during the combine at positions of need for the Saints. We got that coming up for you right here on Locked On Saints, your team every day. All right, Houdat Nation, we are wrapping up today's show with your positions of need as voted on Twitter. So I'm starting an article series over at Canal Street Chronicles where I'm going to be documenting, or really previewing, as we get the day before each on-field group goes to work out, you're going to see who to watch. And I'm going to do three prospects at each of these positions of need. The first prospect is always going to be a day one prospect. And then the second and third prospects are going to be some day 2/3 guys, you know, later round guys, because once you get out of the first round, you know, you can get, especially at the wide receiver position, a guy in the, you know, lower 70s that performs just as well as anybody in the top 50s of a different year. And so I kind of just wanted to put it all together. So you're going to get a day one and then day 2/3 guys to sort of keep an eye out on at the combine to see how they perform. I'll tell you why you should be watching them, what we already know about them, what there is to learn about them, and what drills you should keep an eye out on in particular at that position. So let's set up a little bit of a primer here to give you a bit of a preview in terms of what that's going to be. I'll talk about each of these on the show as well. So you'll have the article for more information, and then you were going to kind of quickly speed through the results of those articles or the results of those players here on the show. So we're going to talk about Justin Jefferson, so I'm not including Justin Jefferson in our wide receiver one, just so that you know, I didn't put him in there. And I'm giving you a heads up early because that's going to drop tomorrow. And so on Wednesday, and because this episode's coming out late, then you might not hear this in time when you blah, blah, blah. But it doesn't matter. The thing about it is that Justin Jefferson's not going to be on there because you know we're going to talk about Justin Jefferson. There's no doubt about that. Okay, so the four positions that you all named that were the most important positions of need for the Saints: wide receiver, linebacker, interior offensive lineman, cornerback. There should be absolutely no surprise there that those are the four big positions where everyone was like, that's where the Saints need help. Completely get it. 100% agree, by the way. Astute observation to you all. Now, I'm going to add in one more position, and you've heard me talk about it a bunch. You might roll your eyes when I say it, because I know I can be pretty annoying about it. But interior defensive lineman, y'all. Interior defensive lineman needs the help. Really just defensive line altogether, but that interior D-line, because we don't know what's going to happen with David Onyemata. We don't know how well Sheldon Rankins is going to perform, and if he is performing well, how long he's going to be able to perform, right? Availability being a very, very key question for Sheldon Rankins going into this year. So lots of question marks, not really lots of question marks, but big question marks for the Saints in their interior defensive line. So I am adding that to the list. That's going to be our five positions that we're going to watch all throughout the combine. And of course, you should also watch the quarterbacks and the safeties and the running backs and everything like that. Yes, yes, yes. Of course, because those guys are going to also be on the board when the Saints go up to pick. So you never know. And especially with the Saints in the day three picks, you just never know who they're going to say, that's the guy. When are you going to get a Rick Leonard versus when are you going to luck into a CJ Gardner-Johnson, right? So worth keeping in mind. Can you believe that they were both drafted in the fourth round? Wild, wild to me. Okay, so those are our positions that we're going to be tracking all throughout the week, each day ahead of the on-field workout. So on Wednesday, I'm going to tell you about the wide receivers that you should be watching. Next up is going to be the offensive linemen who are going to work out on Friday. Yes, the interior offensive linemen work out on Friday from 3 to 11 p.m. Central. So I'm going to tell you about them on Thursday, and that's going to be Thursday's episode. And then we'll hit everybody else, the defensive linemen who are going to be working out on Saturday. And then we'll have the defensive backs on Sunday. Linebackers are also on Saturday as well. So you get linebacker and interior defensive line and cornerback all on Friday. We're just going to cram all of them in there. It's going to be a very fun day. And of course, we'll do some free agency stuff as well, because it is going to be free agency Friday, of course. So let's talk a little bit about each of these positions and what you should be watching and what drills are going to be most important. We just talked about what these drills tell you. Now we're going to talk about which ones are important by position. I'm going to speed through these just so that you have them. So some of the big ones you're going to watch through wide receivers. You're going to watch the 40-yard dash, the vertical leap, broad jump, and then I'd probably put the three cone in there. So there's a lot of fun ones to watch. Basically, anytime that a wide receiver is on, you're going to want to watch them because you're going to learn some very valuable stuff about them. Those agility and speed drills, the ones that we kept attaching the words explosion to, those are the ones that you're going to want to watch. When it comes to interior offensive linemen, you're going to have the bench press, of course, because it's going to show you a lot about their strength. You don't want a weak offensive lineman. You can't have that. So you've got bench press, three cone. If they run it, could be really interesting. Again, it's going to tell you a little bit about that agility, that explosion. The Saints are an outside zone run team. They like to do that. They're not an outside zone run team, but they like to run outside zone and they love to run screens. So you want mobile interior offensive linemen that can pull and get out in front and be blockers at the second level. All of those agility drills are going to tell you that. 40 is going to tell you that as well. And then the broad jump's just going to show you some of that explosion. Now we'll run over to linebackers and defensive linemen who are going to be working out on Saturday. Linebackers, three cones. So you can see a little bit of that agility. We've talked about the athleticism on the Saints second level, what they need on the defense, very, very important. Broad jump to show you a little bit of explosion, maybe a little bit, but really those agility drills. Three cone, short shuttle, and of course the 40, all going to be very helpful for you when it comes to linebackers. Interior defensive line, watch the broad jump. Watch the broad jump for IDL, because that's going to show you all of that get off, that explosiveness off of the line of scrimmage. You want them to have that, so that's going to be a lot of fun to watch. You're going to get the bench press as well. Again, you don't want weak offensive linemen. You sure don't want weak defensive linemen, so that's going to be a really big one to watch as well. And then that new figure eight drill. If they open up, I think they're just going to do it for all defensive linemen. That's going to be really interesting. But one of the guys, I'm going to spoil something real quick, but one of the guys that I have on my list here for you to watch at the combine on the interior defensive line is Jason Strobridge out of UNC. And one of the reasons why I have him there is because he's kind of a Mario Edwards hybrid guy. He can play off the edge and he can be effective up the middle. So definitely worth watching. Like his figure eight, for instance, is going to be a lot of fun to watch. So definitely check that out. And then finally on Sunday, we'll get the corners and the defensive backs. So corners and safeties, that's on March 1st. They're actually going to work out from 1 to 6 p.m. Central Time. So they're a little bit earlier than all the other guys. They work out by themselves. It's just DBs. You're going to want to watch the positional drills in particular. That's going to be a lot of fun. And then, of course, the 40 and the vert. You can watch some of those agility drills as well, but not as important depending upon who you have there. So again, as we go through this week for wide receivers, we'll talk about this tomorrow. Who's the day one guy and who are the day two and three guys that you should be watching? And we'll do that for each one of these positions the day ahead of when they work out. And then you're going to get a big, big pot of defensive players to watch on Friday, just before the Saturday and Sunday drills begin for linebackers, defensive linemen, and defensive backs. All right, y'all, that is going to do it for today's episode. Thank you so much for all your patience, first of all, with today's episode dropping late, but thank you so much, as always, for coming through. Once again, I'm Ross Jackson. You can find me on Twitter at Ross Jackson, N-O-L-A. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and them. Tell your friends, family, and fellow Saints fans about the show, and if you haven't already, please take a moment to subscribe. Drop that 5-star rating and review. I thank you so much for all your support and for helping me grow this family. This has been Locked On Saints, and trust Who Dat Nation. I'll holla at you.